Hello, welcome to Breadcrumbs, and this is your host Ashley, aka Ash Kitten. Here we go. So guys, first of all, I posted yesterday, so I'm posting again today. Like, this is more consistent than I've been in a minute. But to the raw point, I just keep getting confirmation that I need to do this. Like, I belong to a group online that is like for narcissistic abuse support and for survivors and for those who are going through it. And it's a great support group. I absolutely love it. I posted in there that I'm going to be starting, you know, my podcast, and I got a lot of support there. But what really got me was that I have been giving advice in all these little threads here and there, and it has been getting enormous amount of likes and comments as opposed to just the other comments. And I'm not boasting about myself or bragging about myself, but I think that's confirmation that I have knowledge that people are paying attention to and listening to. And I think that that is superb. I'm a little sick, so that's why you hear my voice right now. I was yesterday, but I think it's a little worse today. I'm off today, so it doesn't really, like, it's not that big a deal. I just have doctor's appointments and stuff, but nothing, like, major. But anyway, I think that this can also be applied to you guys. Like, if something is chasing you down as your purpose, and it just won't leave you alone, and you're like, what? And I think I have two purposes, to be honest. I think I'm multiple, but, like, two main ones. One, I definitely think that helping survivors is, like, the main one. And then the other one is, I do believe that I belong in a children's ministry, whether I'm, like, running it or second or third or helping or whatever. That keeps running me down too. Ever since I was like 12, to be honest, because they've asked me to help when I was younger, but also, like, it's just been a thing that's been chasing me down in my life. So I'm positive that my purpose, and I love to do it. I ran from it. Again, I run from my purposes. I feel like Noah. I run because I'm scared that I'm not good enough to complete the task. Like, even with this whole thing of, like, being a mentor and helping women and, like, being, I want to be a platform. I want to build a platform and a foundation for help, you know, in situations where people are in narcissistic abuse, men or women. And I want to normalize helping men. I don't think that's done enough. There's battered women shelters, but where are the battered men shelters? I don't see any. And there are men who are literally being killed or killing themselves in the situations that they're in, or just suffering abuse till they have had it, you know, and then they don't have a way out 9 times out of 10. It's really hard because my abuse came from a man, but I will tell you, I know for a fact that the narc abuse is on both sides, and I'm not going to discriminate. Not every single person who is a woman in a situation is the victim. And in narc abuse, sometimes the woman can pretend to be the victim and be, you know, sympathized with and empathized with. And it's really the man that's being hurt and going through this. Case in point, a lot of times women use their children as a tool. Like, the men, like, want to see their children and want to be with their children. They're like, oh, well, you need to pay this, you need to pay that, and you need to get my nails done and my hair done, and then we'll talk. And it's not cut and dry exactly how I said it. They're like, oh, send money and this and that, and they're playing victim. But it is a man's obligation to help take care of his child, and he should be paying child support if he's not the sole caretaker of the child. However, if you're extorting if you're extorting for money, using your child to extort money from your ex, that is definitely a negative thing and a sign of narcissism, because you're showing no empathy for your child and for the person who loves your child and who helped make that child. And I just think that's completely wrong, whether you're a man or a woman doing that. Funny thing is, I was on the side of things that most men are on, where I was being kept away from my kids and manipulated to not be able to see them only when it's convenient for my ex-narcissist. And a lot of people were like, wow, you're in the man's position. Like, you have to pay money and all that stuff. And it was kind of crazy. But at the same time, men in that situation shouldn't be going through what I went through. Like, it should be... I have a friend who went through a divorce very amicably. And they were fine. They were good at co-parenting together. He did pay child support, but she didn't make him buy everything. And he knew that he had certain obligations. She had certain obligations. And they talked about big decisions together. They split big decision money, like braces and things like that. They weren't like, oh, well, it's on you because you're the dad, or you're the one taking it. Like, they never shifted blame onto one another. They always took like half and half. That's how it should be. That's how co-parenting should be. And they never used the child to negotiate terms, you know, like, oh, well, you're not going to see him if you don't do this. Like, no, it was always negotiation, and they were always very amicable with each other, which is so like amazing to me, because you don't see that all the time, you know. Anyway, I just came on here because I have plenty of time today. I'm off, so I wanted to make an episode just kind of directing you guys about the future, what I'm going to be doing. So definitely a podcast. More than likely, I'm going to just like full force go in as a motivational speaker and see what happens. Like, sign up for motivational speaking, like being able to speak at events and stuff. A lot of times I guess you have to pay to do that, but I'm gonna see, like, we'll see what I can afford and what I can't. But I want to get my knowledge out there, you know. I do have I just woke up and you can hear it completely in my voice. Also, I wasn't able to take my medicine last night, so I am I'm sick and tired. But not as bad as it would be without my medicine entirely. So I'm yawning and stuff, but it's okay. I'm here. I'm present. And I am going to make a difference. That's what it's all about. I think that whatever you're doing, like whatever your passion is, whatever your purpose is, whatever you seek out to do, that if you're making a difference, that's what matters. And you don't have to be like a motivational speaker to make a difference. That's the reason that I haven't done all that, is because I'm like, well, I can still make a difference. I don't have to go out and do all that stuff, but it's just chasing me down. Like, y'all, I have to be honest. Like, I've been running from it. I've been like, no, I'm not good enough. What if like people like call me a fraud? Because yes, I've been through the abuse for 15 years. Yes, all everything I've told you is true, but I'm not like a psychologist or anything. Like, what if they're like, you know nothing about NPD? Like, why are you saying you know? And I will tell you, I did study it a little bit, and I I took abnormal psychology, and I have some knowledge, book knowledge, and I've read it. I've done self-study pretty much too. Like, I studied it as much as I can in the books, but I will tell you, I get more of my knowledge from actually analyzing the relationships that I was in, and especially the 15-year-long marriage. But parallel to the relationship that I got in after I was with my ex for 15 years, the relationship that I got in after that helped me really like lock things in, because then I was like in the beginning stages of another would have been long-term narcissistic abuse. And I am so proud of myself that I didn't get into it, because the girl that he cheated on me with, he married. Like, she's gonna have to be the one to go through all that. And it's just, it floors me that I'm so glad that I never, like, I think he was like, who's long term? Who can I stay with long term? And because I was butting heads with him about the things that I was going through, instead of just being like, yes, it's okay, I know that you're stressed, and like, that's why you're pulling away. Like, I think he was kind of like testing who's gonna find out about who. And if she would have found out about me and butted heads with him and been like, oh no, you're cheating on me, I can't do this, then he would have chose me long term, if I would have been like gullible and vulnerable to it. And I'm so glad, because my kids would have been involved, and like, I just, no, I'm so glad I figured it out. But poor her, that she thinks I'm crazy. And that's okay, because narcissists do that. They gaslight, and they make the person, the victim, think that all their exes or all the people that they cheat with are crazy and obsessed. Like, furthest thing from it. I will tell you that my son is dating his daughter. So that creates a whole... And I didn't even know. My son was hiding it from me. And he's like, the reason I didn't tell you is because I thought you'd be mad. And I'm not mad, but it does complicate things sometimes. And they've been together a year, so it's very complicated. But he doesn't like my son, and he doesn't want my son to be with his daughter, for the simple fact, and he like literally told him, he doesn't want me infiltrating his relationship, because he knows I have tea. But I don't care. Like, I gave her the information at the time. I screenshotted things, time stamped, whatever, sent it to her. And if she is okay with the fact that he cheated on her the entire time they were together, he and I were together the entire time, like when he met her, we were together. So if she's okay with that, then she's gonna have to find out on her own. Like, I'm sorry, boo, but I gave you the information, and it's gonna take time. Shows how much of an empath she is. It just shows. She believes him wholeheartedly, and she's in it for the long haul. And I was that person for 15 years with my ex. I actually, when I met my ex, he's like, I broke up with 3 women for you. That's what he told me when we first got together. He's like, I was, you know, like dating 3 different girls, and they all knew about each other, which I found out they didn't. And I found out that he didn't break up with them, that he told me that, but they were still like, he married me, but he was still with them off and on throughout our entire relationship, even after marriage. Like, it's so crazy how they do. I will say that I got stronger and I learned from it. And I'm not going to like thank him for anything. Like, people are like, oh, well, if it hadn't been for him. No, if it hadn't been for the strength inside of me to fight back. The situation was terrible and gruesome, and I almost died. So I'm not going to thank him in any way, shape, or form for who I am today. I'm going to thank me. And I'm going to thank God. And I'm going to thank the people around me that planted seeds. But I will not thank him. And people would say, oh, well, you wouldn't know your purpose if it wasn't for him. Then it wouldn't have been my purpose. I went through this, and I was allowed to go through this because free will. Because people have free will. People forget about that. Like, God doesn't design everyone to go through hardships, but he sees the hardships that we're going through, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to turn that pain into a purpose. So I don't believe that this was predestined or predesigned by God. It was designed after he knew people's free will, if that makes sense. Like, he already knew who was going to do what. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to let her go through that without a purpose. Because he knew I was going to go through it. He knew what people's free will was going to entail. So that's where I get a little, like, upset with some people who are like, yes, everything happens for a reason. I believe that. But I don't believe that it was, like, written. God was like, oh, and she's going to go through this. And she's going to be hurt so bad. And she's almost die. Like, that wasn't designed. That was him taking someone's design of their own free will, because we make our own design, right? Like, I could choose to jump off of a bridge right now, and that would be my design. And then God would take that, and he already would know that that was going to happen. He would take that, and that would be terrible and sad. Like, I would never do that. But I'm saying, he would take that horrible situation and turn it into good for those around me, because they would now be devastated from something like that. The people who love me and care about me, I would never hurt like that. But I'm just saying, like, he would know that that would happen. So he would turn their pain into purpose. But he wouldn't have designed me to do that. He would just know, he would know that my free will would entail that. So I just really want, like, that to be clear for those who, like, think that God designs your pain. Because he doesn't. He takes your pain and he forms it into purpose. He takes something disgusting that happened because of free will, and he makes it into something beautiful. That's what he does. And so, I'm sorry I went off on a tangent about that, but I, like, literally had a conversation about that with someone, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna thank him. Like, they're like, well, in a way, you should thank him for everything that you went through, because now you know what your purpose is, and now you have the knowledge to share with people. Like, no, ma'am. I have that knowledge because I analyzed. I have that knowledge because I went through it, and it was from the source of my pain. But the free will that he imparted on me by doing those things, that's his free will. He chose that. He chose to do that. I don't need to thank him for hurting me. I could have had a purpose in another way. Like, my purpose could have been another thing. Someone else's purpose could have been this. But my purpose became this because he chose that. He chose to impart that pain on me. So, sorry guys. I'm very passionate about that subject. And I really think there is a difference. Like, yes, everything happens for a reason. Yes, God has a great design. But if you step out of his will, if you step out of God's will, then you are in your own free will and others' free will on you. And you have to accept that, like, I wasn't in his perfect will when I met my ex. If I would have listened to God, I wouldn't have been with him. But I didn't. I got caught up. If I would have courted, if I would have done the things that it takes to, like, that's why God wants us to move slow in relationships. That's why, like, I'm sorry I'm bringing so much of, like, my faith in this, because, but it is a part of me, and this is strongly what I believe. And it's just that, you know, and I don't fault anyone for believing anything different, but this is who I am. So this is my podcast, and I'm sharing what I believe, you know. But I just strongly believe that if I would have done the right things, that I wouldn't have ended up in this situation. And that's why, like, people in stable lives with certain upbringings, with stability, and where they're taught emotional regulation, and they're taught, like, and they're loved by their parents, and they live kind of like a stable emotional life, they don't end up with people like this, because the second that their boundaries are crossed, they feel violated and they leave, and there's nothing holding them to that because they know their value. And I didn't know mine because I was raised in a home that just didn't have that. And I could have turned to God for that. And I'm not blaming my old self. I was young and I really didn't know any better, but I didn't follow God's will. I didn't. I wasn't in His perfect will. So I can't say God designed this for me. But he took the bad, and He said, "I'm not going to let you suffer and it be in vain." So He took it, and He took His hands and He crafted this beautiful purpose to help people. And I get so much satisfaction from it, because I honestly, like, helping people is so therapeutic for me. It's more than anybody can even understand. Like watching myself pull someone out of an abusive situation is like me telling the younger me, like, you're validated and you are loved. And it strengthens my confidence in myself. I don't know how to explain it. It's like filling up someone else's cup also fills up mine. And when it comes to resolving pain, when it comes from a deep place that I've been through, watching people that I love go through it is so heart-wrenching. So to get them out of it is like just the most amazing feeling in the world. People that I love and I care about, and then people that I don't even know, I've helped people that I didn't even know until they reached out to me, you know, and then I grew to care about them and grew to love them. And I still have one lady that on the anniversary date of her leaving, she still like thanks me, and like that is just so powerful to me, you know. And part of me is like, I want to always, like, I'm gonna be real with you guys and be raw, like, I always want to maintain that humility, because I'm scared that, like, at some point, you know, I could be like, oh, I did this, because never ever would I want that, like, glory on myself. These women found the strength inside themselves, and I am just the instrument that they were able to use to get out. But and it brings me satisfaction, but I don't ever want to get satisfaction from the glory of it. So I want to stay humble. I want to stay, like, you know, so if I ever did become like a big podcaster or something, or this did take off and this, you know, became big and a motivational speaker and I got my name out there, I want to do everything that I can to keep myself humble and to stay, I never, like, that's my worst fear. Is becoming a narcissist, is becoming self-centered and making it about me, or making it about money, or making it about my story, my, like, glory that I did this, because I found the strength inside myself to leave. But I want people to see that so they can find the strength within themselves. And there, I just don't ever want to make it about me. That is why in my podcast, I have not, to be honest, I have not had that, the one that I want to do, like, pushed forward. Like, that's why I haven't been super consistent with it, and I haven't, like, pushed for extreme success. I'm not saying that if I did, I would be successful, but I didn't give myself a lot of chance to be, like, a well-known person in the podcasting world, because I haven't pushed for it. Like, I haven't advertised and, you know, gotten myself, like, in a, I don't know how to explain it. I haven't pushed for it. I speak on here because, and I don't care how many followers I have, the more people I reach, the better that I can help. But and I love every single person for listening to me, because it's very therapeutic for me as well. But I'm not doing it to be famous. And I'm not saying that if I pushed that I would be, but I haven't pushed because I didn't want to give myself the chance of becoming well known by myself, if that makes sense. So I will be pushing the Lighthouse because I'm going to be having a partner with me, and I feel like that will make sure that I'm not making it about me because I have another person with me. I don't know. It's such a freaking mind screw of being with a narcissist for so long that you're so terrified of ever being selfish and ever becoming like them. Like, that would be my worst fear, is becoming the monster. And I just, like, I've done everything in my power, in my mind, in my power, to constantly self-check myself. Am I being narcissistic? Do I have narcissistic tendencies? Like, I keep on, because it's just my worst fear. It's worse than, like, drowning. It's worse than dying in a fire. Like, it's worse than anything, because if I hurt people, to know that I could hurt, that I'm capable of hurting someone, that, like, kills me. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I think I would be capable, because I know all the narcissist technique, I know all the narcissist tools, and I know them. So what's to keep me from using them for self-gain? Like, I have to keep myself humble, I have to keep myself in check, I have to. Not that I've had any selfish thoughts, but I'm scared that I will. I'm scared that, like, money could cause that, or success or something, you know, and I don't want that. I don't want that. It's, like, my worst fear. I'm sorry, guys. I'm, like, it's just, like, oh my God, I feel like I'm gonna have a panic attack. Okay. I am going to push the Lighthouse, the next podcast, because I want to help people, and my knowledge that I think that I have and experience to help people outweighs my extreme anxiety for ever becoming narcissistic. However, I have checks and balances where if I have a co-host that will not put the light directly on me, that it's not about my story, it's not about me, is about us, and that makes it not about me. Anytime you can include another person, it is not no longer focused on me. And I feel like that would help my anxiety of not feeling like, you know, it's about me. And also, like, keeping me humble and keeping me in a place where, like, it is not about me, it is not about me. And then together, like, she would be a sounding board. So, like, excuse me. And she's the most empathetic person that I know. When I tell you, this girl is the extreme empath. She is the extreme empath. I just see so much of my old self in her, because I do believe, like, I was an extreme empath 6 years ago, even when I left. But I've had to evolve my empathy. And by that, I mean, and this is where, like, it gets a little scary, because, like, I have had to harden some things. Like, I make sure that I don't make it about me and that I'm not selfish, but there are times that you have to say no as an empath. There are boundaries that you have to set up, and you have to tell yourself if you have a problem setting up boundaries, because I often think the boundaries hurt people. I do. Like, if I set up a boundary, in my mind, I'm like, oh no, this person thinks I don't trust them, or this person thinks, like, they're hurt by the fact that I set up this boundary, and now they think I don't trust them, and now they, you know, are upset with me. I have to remember, and I've said this before, boundaries help, and boundaries are safe, and boundaries are healthy, not hurtful. I have to say that all the time to myself. But I have evolved my empathy. I do say no, and I do set up boundaries, and I do have less of a hard time doing that as I go. The first time was the hardest. But in the relationship that I'm in, I am setting up those boundaries, and the person that I'm with is listening, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in a relationship where your feelings are cared about as much as you care about theirs. And it's just, it's phenomenal. But having someone go through this like whole podcasting thing and mentorship and becoming a motivational speaker, like, I believe she and I can do it together. It would make it less about me, and then together we can bring people in from the darkness, and we can shed light on the narcissistic abuse. And I think together we're stronger. We can be each other's sounding board. Like, I know there's not a chance in HE double hockey sticks that she will ever become a narcissist, so I don't have to worry about that. But more than likely, she's scared of it too, I'm sure. And, like, together we can calm each other's fears by, like, reminding each other that we're doing it for everyone else. We're doing it for the people that are stuck and that don't know that they're stuck. Or the people that are stuck know they're stuck and don't know how to get out. And provide them the resources and the tools. And I'm sure she has knowledge that I don't have. You know, she went through a different situation. She was in Canada, a foreign land. That's even more experience. Like, I wasn't in a foreign land. That is a whole nother level of isolation that I don't understand. So, she understands it, but she went through it. You know, I could speculate, but I didn't go through it. It's not my experience. So she has more things to add and add to the table. Like, she does, she brings a lot to the table. So I think having her is just such a great idea. But I am gonna push it. I am gonna advertise. I am going to get our names out there, and get our podcast name out there, because I do believe that we can help people, and that's the sole reason that I want to do it. And not for monetization, not for money, not for anything other than helping people. And I find myself on this regularly. Like, I am making a difference at my work. I do actually reach people who have been abused in narcissistic abuse. And matter of fact, one of my coworkers is going through it. And I know the signs. She doesn't talk about it much, but when she does, like, I'm planting seeds. And then here and there, I get patients that are going through it, and I can tell, and I'm planting the seed, and I'm, like, in some way giving them some hope. And I feel like I should be doing this on a larger scale, but I do believe that, you know, at work I'm making a difference. However, I love my job, and it is my source of income. However, I would like to do this full time. And it'd be my source of income only because this larger scale of people that I can help. And I always pray, God, order my steps so that way I'm in your perfect will. Order my steps because I can be in his perfect will now. Just because I wasn't when, that's the absolutely fantastic thing about God. And again, I'm not pushing my beliefs or values on you, but this is my perspective. This is what I believe, that even though I didn't listen to him many times and I faltered and I ended up in situations, he weaved this beautiful purpose for me, and it became now his perfect will, like his will. And so now I'm in his perfect will. And as long as I stay in his perfect will and don't fall for temptations or don't, I think the greatest temptation would be to become a narcissist. Well, it's not really a temptation, it's my worst fear, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it would somehow find its way in, because it would be a slow fade. I think, like, I don't think it would be like, oh, one day you're a narcissist, like, no. But like, maybe it's like, oh, making this more about me, or, you know, that's why I need sounding boards, that's why I need all of this set up, so that way it doesn't happen. Because y'all, I am terrified. I do not want to ever, ever make it about me. Sorry. So, I know I've, like, gone off on that tangent too many times. I'm sorry. That is so repetitive. But that, I think that I've set up enough checks and balances, and I think I've set up enough, and especially with my family. Like, my family will check me. I have an adopted mom and dad that will check me. They will be like, girl, you are making this about you. I know that I will definitely, whatever, like, money comes in for foundation, like, I know that I will not be tempted with it. I've lived off of nothing, and I could still live off of nothing. I know that my mentality is, like, help as many people as possible. So however I can spread that to help people, I know that that's not going to be an issue. But I just know that maybe even temptation of, like, I don't know, like, I'm in a relationship. What if, like, the relationship is a temptation? I don't know. I know I'm in a good relationship, but I just want to make sure that I'm in God's perfect will. And so I say, order my steps. And when I do that, when I say, order my steps, certain things happen that fall into place. Like, it's literally like, he's like, okay, here it is laid out for you. You just step in the footprints that I have you in. That's my perfect will. And just make those steps in the order that I put you in. And then, when I step outside of that perfect will, I can feel it. I can feel the protection waning. I don't think that I've ever not been fully protected by God. I think he's always protected me. I think I would have, had I not been protected by God, I think I would have died in my marriage. I would have killed myself, or unalived myself. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. I would have unalived myself, or he would have done it. And made it look like I unalived myself, because he was learning techniques and stuff. Like, when I tell you he's a sociopath, don't take it lightly. Like, he was on the ranks of Ted Bundy. He just hadn't had a chance to complete his goals yet. And the thing is, I remember him saying, because I, like, for some reason have been obsessed since childhood with narcissists and sociopaths, mainly sociopaths when I was younger, because I didn't know what a narcissist was, and it kind of, like, the difference was, like, psychopaths, serial killers, what I was obsessed with, because I'm like, what makes a person so evil? What makes a person want to hurt people? It just didn't make sense to me. It's like, was it just, like, demonic? Was it, what was it? So I had to find out. Like, I read all the books and I tried to, like, figure out, and I couldn't figure it out. And I just kept, like, profiling. Like, I wanted to know what profile they had. Like, usually arson in their past, and we're talking about, like, serial killers, arson in their past, torturing animals in their past, and abusive relationships, things like that, right? So my ex used to tease me and say, and typically a serial killer is in their mid-30s. So my ex used to tease me and be like, I have the entire profile of a serial killer, except for I'm not in my mid-30s. Can't wait. And I'm like, wait, what? What? And then he would say, oh, I'm joking. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Because, as obsessive as he was with Forensic Files, which I will say I was obsessed too, but to the level that he was obsessed, I think he was taking notes, and I was taking notes on how not to be a victim. Like, how do you get in someone's head like that and change them? That's how I was, like, kind of viewing it. And that's even how I was viewing it when I was a kid reading the books. Like, how do you change someone like this? Getting in their head, but also, like, how do you flip them to the other side? I don't know. But here I was, young, thinking I could change the world and rid the world of serial killers, right? But I really wanted to know. I really did. And now I do. I know what creates a sociopath. I know what creates a narcissist. They're not too different from each other. Mine was a narcissist and sociopath. And I was talking to someone, and they were like, oh, my ex was, you know, showing signs throughout the relationship, but then he turned into a full-blown narcissist. No, honey, he was a full-blown narcissist from the beginning. And I said, what makes you think he turned into a full-blown narcissist? And she's like, well, he ended up leaving me for someone else, Well, he cheated throughout the whole relationship. He was abusive, all the things. So leaving and discarding, the discard period is where she went, okay, he's a full-blown narcissist. The discard period is just the end stage of narcissist use of supply. It's literally like a juice box. They like pick you up. They, you know, like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world, right? They, I mean, can't romance a juice box, but they romance you. They make you think like you're the best thing ever. They convince you to give. And then once you do, they suck you dry and then they toss you to the side like a juice box. That's the, that was the juice box reference that I'm trying to get. Like, nothing left. Oh, let me get another one. Because when you have a juice box, you gotta get another one. You like suck it dry and you're like, that wasn't enough. I need another one. So narcissists are like, oh, they try to get every little bit. And then there's nothing left. They're like, okay, I need another one. And then that's where they go on to the next one. Now, if you happen to find yourself and you start getting healthier and you start mentally healthier and physically healthier and you're getting back to the old you, they will circle back because you're not empty. They discarded you and then they're like, oh, she's starting to fill up that juice. That juice box is looking full again. And then they come back. That's why they come back. It's not because they love you. It's because you're getting better. If you were still like pining over them, they knew that they had the control. Like, oh, I miss you so much. Please don't do this to me. And they're like, I still got you. They're still getting sourced from you even in that situation. But they can't get everything that they want because you're not in the mentally healthy state. So they're like, no, thank you. Until you start going like, you know what? I don't need you. I'm independent. I can get this. I got this. I got a good job. I got myself. I can do it. I got friends. Look at how happy I am. I posting on Instagram. Look at me. And then they're like, hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. They text you, I miss you. And you're like, eh. And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. She's not under my control anymore. I need her back. I need to be back in control of this lady. And look at how much more she has to give me. Look at all this. This juice box is full. I'm going to get so much juice out of this juice box. And if you fall for it, they will suck you dry again. And then discard you. They will discard you as many times as they see fit. The discard happens when they can't get anything out of you. When you are a shell of a human being. When you are catching on to their lies and their BS. And you are calling them out for it every time. When you are no longer just susceptible to being drawn, like, sucked dry. Those are the two things. When you, like, put a stop to it. And you're like, you ain't getting no more juice. That's when they discard you. Because they know that you're either going to discard them. Or they discard you first. That's like, you know, discard or be discarded. And, or if you're extreme empath and you're just like putting up with it to the point of like they're cheating on you and you're not even looking through their phone anymore because you have been drained to nothing. They can't even get an emotional reaction out of you unless they are getting another source from you, like financially, or you're taking care of the kids because that's also a source. Then if they're not getting anything out of you, they're just going to discard you. And they've already like mentally discarded you once you're not like healthy. They're cheating with a girl who has it all together and she's got her juice box full and he's convinced her, oh, my marriage is terrible. I'm so miserable in my marriage. She's so awful. She treats me so badly. And she is keeping, she'll keep the kids from me if I leave. That is one thing that I was like, what in the heck? When I was still with him and he cheated on me, I overheard a conversation with him and another person, and I heard the whole conversation, and to the girl he was like, yeah, she's gonna take my kids if I leave, so I just have to pretend that we're together. And I'm like, what in the heck kind of Jedi mind tricks are you trying to pull here? And the girl fell for it. Of course. She's like, oh my God, you poor thing. You have to pretend to be in a relationship just so you can be happy. That's so sad. I'll be here for you. I'm like, honey, he's pretending everything. At that time, I didn't know that. At the time, I was like, he loves me. He don't love you. But at that time, I was more angry at the other women. And in time, I realized that that is definitely not who I needed to be angry at. I should have left. Like, anybody who disrespects you enough to be with another person and lie about it, literally just say, like, whatever the crap, like, No, I'm in that place right now where it is not ever going to happen to me again. Not saying that I could never be tricked by a narcissist short term, but it will never happen long term, because the second I feel disrespected, the second that my boundaries are crossed, I'm done. That's it. I showed my boundaries. These are my boundaries. You cross them, we're done. Like, there's in friendships as well. I had to release a friendship recently, and I still love her. And she's not a narcissist, I don't think. But boundaries were crossed, and that's literally it. I mean, I guess you could say she released me, but I wouldn't change my viewpoint. And I will, like, say 100,000 times, anyone who seeks vengeance in any form is, I just don't choose to be friends with. Vengeance to me is a self-seeking behavior, is self-gratifying, self-serving. And I know a lot of people, when you're hurt, you feel like you need to get revenge. And I will tell you, the best revenge that you will ever get, listen very closely, the best revenge you will ever get, the most satisfying, the one that will literally make you feel the best, is success and being nothing like the person who hurt you. That's it. You don't need to get them back. You don't need to tit for tat. You don't need to chase after them. You don't need to figure out what will make them fall to their knees. Because I tell you what, they will get their God smack. Okay? It will happen. And you don't need to know the timing. You don't need to know when. You can watch them being super happy, you know, on Instagram or on their Facebook, being like, look at how great my life is without you. That's great. Keep living that life. I'm glad. I'm going to not pay attention to your life and stop looking at your Instagram and stop looking at your Facebook so I can focus on myself. And that's it. Focus on yourself. Focus on your goals. Like, don't waste that energy on another person, because that's energy you could be putting toward yourself. Everything is made up of energy, and you only have so much of it. Just like you only have so much time in your day, you only have 24 hours in a day. Even the richest person in the world only has 24 hours in a day. The most poor person in the world only has 24 hours in a day, and 8 of those hours should be sleeping. At least 8 hours you should be sleeping. So the rest of your day is how you're going to distribute time to whatever you're going to do. You don't get any more time than anybody else. You don't get any less time than anybody else unless you die. And then that's a whole different thing. So what are you going to do with your day? You have to learn how to distribute time and your priorities just as much as you can distribute your energy and your priorities. Yes, some people may have more energy than others, but you only have so much energy. That's it. You have your amount of energy, and are you going to waste it on are you going to waste it on someone who doesn't deserve your energy? And then also, why revenge and, you know, this and that, when they will come back at you. You know they're vengeful people. You know they're going to come back on you tenfold. So why? Why start a war when you can just focus all that nuclear energy on yourself? You can make yourself better. So, and then also, like, the other part of it is being nothing like them. Like, have that satisfaction of knowing, I'm not going to get dirty like you. You rolled around in the dirt. I'm going to be up here, like, not doing that. I'm not going to look for dirt on you and that in turn get myself dirty. Like, no, I'm good. I'm over here. I'm bathing in the river. Okay. I am literally focusing on myself. I do not turn my eyes towards you. Occasionally, you know, like, you feel the need to look that person up and see how they're doing in life. That is a negative thing, but I get it. Everybody does it. I do it. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that I don't, but that's also bad because it's still, you're still trying to see, like, oh, is this person, has this person gotten their karma yet? Have they gotten their Godsmack? That's not for you to know when. And if you see that they're doing good, it makes you more likely to want to hurt them. So don't fall into that trap of looking them up and trying to see if they've, like, gotten hit by a bus. Don't. So much we covered today, but I am going to go eat. It's my day off, so I'm probably going to take another nap because Miss Narcolepsy Sleepy Girl over here needs a nap. Didn't have my medicine last night and I'm sick, so my body is trying to rehabilitate itself. And I hope that you guys all learn something or are able to take something away from this, because that's why I do this. I hope that you understand that I'm going to be focusing my efforts on the lighthouse, and I hope that you do follow me into the lighthouse with my friend Sam. And I don't know what our names are going to be on the show, but I think we're going to go by, like, Sam and Ash. I made her name first, again, because I don't want it to be about me, you know. So, and I think it's catchy, like, Sam and Ash. Ash and Sam doesn't have the same, So, Sam and Ash, and it's going to be called The Lighthouse, and I hope you guys are able to follow me on that and listen. And you know, big things are in store. I'm gonna be probably doing the motivational speaking and getting into all that with her. And so hopefully you guys, like, look out for that. And I appreciate every single one of you guys for your love and your support. And I think that, I don't know. I think that this is a different me, a different era, a different chapter. And I hope you guys are along for the journey. And I probably will not, I will still be posting to this podcast here and there. And I'm not going to, like, tell people on, like, if Lighthouse becomes really big, I'm not going to be like, oh, and also I'm on Breadcrumbs, because the purpose of Lighthouse is for survivors. And this is for, like, yes, I want to help survivors too on this, of course, but it's more, the purpose is more for, like, everything else. Like, this is where I vent to you guys, this is where, like, my personal life comes in, you know, and I talk about things that I probably wouldn't on there. And so I'm not going to, like, advertise this one. So this will probably still be, like, low key, even if that one blows up. And if that one doesn't blow up, it's fine. Like, the only reason I want it to go big is because I want to help as many people as possible. And I want to reach as many people as possible. And really, it's not about the fame or money or whatever, like, for me. And so, I bid you guys an adieu. I love you. Spread love, light, and positivity wherever you go. And hope that you have a wonderful, miraculous day. And bye.